Picture the middle of the North Atlantic at 37,000 feet. It is dark, it is cold, and you are somewhere between Gander and Shannon in a jet full of sleeping passengers. Now ask yourself a simple question. Who is watching you right now? For most of the history of oceanic flight, the honest answer was nobody. Not really. Not the way a controller watches you over Kansas. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about the technology that changed that answer, and we are going to be honest about both what it fixed and what it did not. Let's break this down. Start with what ADS-B actually is, because the whole story hangs on one word in the name. ADS-B stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance, broadcast automatic, because it just runs. Dependent, because it depends on the airplane knowing where it is, usually from GPS. Surveillance, because it is how you get watched. And broadcast, because your airplane is shouting its position out into the world about once a second on a frequency of 1090 MHz, for anyone with a receiver to hear. Now here's the part most people miss. That broadcast is a radio signal, and radio at that frequency travels in a straight line, line of sight. It does not bend around the curve of the Earth. So on land, we built a network. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, put up hundreds of ground stations across the country. Your airplane broadcasts, a nearby tower hears it, and the controller sees you. Beautiful, seamless. As long as there is a ground station within sight of your airplane, go a couple hundred miles out over the ocean, and there is no ground station. There is no ground. Your airplane is still broadcasting faithfully, once a second, into empty air that nobody is listening to. That is the hole. And that hole covers roughly 70% of the planet. The oceans, the poles, the big deserts, the empty stretches of Africa, and the Himalayas. Enormous volumes of airspace where, until very recently, air traffic control could not actually see the airplanes. So, how did they manage it? The answer is a word that should make an engineer a little uncomfortable: procedure. Over the North Atlantic, controllers ran what is called procedural separation. Because they could not see you, they kept airplanes so far apart that they could not possibly hit each other, even if everything went wrong. We are talking longitudinal spacing of around 40 nautical miles between airplanes on the same track. Pilots would call in position reports over crackly high-frequency radio, sometimes relayed through a third party, every 10 to 14 minutes or so. You would report your position, your altitude, your estimate for the next fix. And in between those reports, the system was essentially trusting your math. Think about that. A 300-ton airliner over the middle of the ocean, and the surveillance system's picture of it was a decade-old-style position report and a whole lot of faith. Before I go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. If there is a moment in your flying you want to hold on to, that is what these are for. AviationSoul.com. Okay, so the ground can't see over the ocean. The airplane is already broadcasting. There's an obvious engineering question sitting right there. And a company called Aireon asked it out loud. If the airplane is shouting its position at the sky anyway, and the problem is just that nobody on the ground is close enough to hear it, then what if we put the listener in the sky, not on a mountaintop, in orbit? Here's how they did it, and this is where the space crossover gets genuinely elegant. There is a satellite phone and data company called Iridium. Iridium operates a constellation of 66 operational satellites in low Earth orbit, arranged in six orbital planes, circling the Earth at about 480 miles up. That constellation is famous for one property. Unlike most satellite networks, it covers the entire planet pole to pole, no gaps. That is why it can put a phone call through from the middle of Antarctica. Around 2017 through 2019, Iridium replaced its aging fleet with a new generation called Iridium Next. And Aireon paid to bolt a receiver onto every single one of those new satellites. Not a full separate spacecraft, a hosted payload. A 1090 MHz ADS-B receiver riding along on a communications satellite that was going up anyway. So now the picture flips. Your airplane over the North Atlantic is still broadcasting once a second, exactly like before. Nothing changed on the airplane. But now 480 miles overhead, there is a satellite listening. It catches your broadcast, relays it through the Iridium network, and pushes it down to Aireon on the ground, who hands it to the controllers at Nav Canada, at NATS in the United Kingdom, and the other air navigation providers who signed on. Real-time surveillance. Over the open ocean, for the first time in the history of flight. The data tells an interesting story about what that actually bought us. In 2019, when the system went operational over the North Atlantic, controllers were able to start shrinking that separation. That 40 nautical mile procedural gap between airplanes came down, in trials and then in practice, toward 14 nautical miles. Some longitudinal standards went lower. Now, why does a pilot care about spacing you will never see? Two reasons, and they are both concrete. First, the North Atlantic is not empty. It funnels a huge volume of traffic through a set of organized tracks that shift every day with the winds. When you can pack airplanes closer together safely, more of them get the altitude and the route they actually want. The optimum altitude for fuel burn, the track that rides the jet stream, that is real money and real carbon. Every single crossing, every single day. Second, and this is the one that matters at 3 in the morning, is search and rescue. If something goes wrong over the ocean, the old system's picture of you might be a position report from 12 minutes ago. 12 minutes at 8 miles a minute is a search box almost 100 miles across, with space-based ADS-B. That picture is seconds old. That is the difference between a search area and a location. Which brings us to the airplane that haunts this entire subject. Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, 2014, a modern airliner vanished over the Indian Ocean and to this day has never been fully recovered. One of the hard lessons of that tragedy was that in 2014, we did not have a reliable, automatic, global way to know where an airplane was at any given moment. Aireon has said that its network, had it existed then, would have been tracking that airplane. That is not a claim I can independently prove. And you should hold it with some skepticism, because the airplane's own transponder behavior that night is part of the mystery. But the broader push is real. The International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, moved toward what is called the Global Aeronautical Distress and Safety System. The headline requirement is that airplanes report their position at least every 15 minutes in normal flight, and in a distress situation that tightens toward once a minute so a wreckage site is pinned down fast. Space-based ADS-B is one of the cleanest ways to meet that, so that is the promise. Now let me be the engineer I'm supposed to be, and give you the honest cons, because there are several and anyone selling you this without them is selling you hype. Here's the first one, and it is a big one for the general aviation crowd listening. Space-based ADS-B only hears one of the two ADS-B systems in the United States. We split our ADS-B onto two frequencies. Airliners and higher airplanes use 1090 extended squitter. A lot of light general aviation uses a separate link on 978 megahertz. The Universal Access Transceiver, or UAT, the satellites only listen on 1090. So if you're flying a Cessna on a UAT box, the constellation overhead is not hearing you at all. For the oceanic mission, that is fine, because you're not crossing the Atlantic in that Cessna. But it is a real limit on the phrase global surveillance. It is global surveillance of the 1090 world. Second caveat, antennas. Most airplanes have their ADS-B antenna mounted on the belly because the whole system was designed to talk down to ground stations. A satellite is up now. 1090 broadcasts scatter and diffract enough that the satellites do get solid reception from belly antennas in practice, and the performance has been better than a lot of skeptics predicted. But it is a reminder that we are using the signal in a direction it was never designed to go, and the physics is not free. Third, and this is the one that keeps me up. Every bit of this depends on GPS, that D and ADS-B dependent. The airplane only knows where it is because a GPS receiver told it, and GPS is a faint whisper of a signal from 12,000 miles up that can be jammed by something the size of a cigarette lighter and spoofed by someone with a little more skill and bad intentions. We have seen real sustained GPS interference in conflict zones and near certain borders in the last few years, when the position source lies, the most beautiful surveillance network in the world just faithfully relays the lie. Space-based ADS-B does not fix that. In some ways, it globalizes the dependency. And fourth, the plain structural one. This is, right now, essentially a single commercial provider holding a piece of global air traffic surveillance infrastructure. The air navigation authorities are the customers. That arrangement has worked, and the partners are serious, safety-first organizations. But concentrating a safety-of-life service in one company's constellation is the kind of thing a systems thinker files under watch this carefully, not undersolved. So where does that leave the timeline? This is not vaporware. This is not a demo. It has been operational over the North Atlantic since 2019. It has expanded across other oceanic regions, and the reduced separation standards it enables are in the rulebooks and in daily use. That part is done and flying tonight. What is still unfolding is the broader dream. Truly global, gap-free tracking of every airplane tied into distress systems, resilient against a GPS outage. That is a decade-long project, and it runs straight into the messy realities of equipage, of two frequencies that cannot hear each other, and of a navigation signal that is more fragile than any of us would like. Here's the thing I keep coming back to. We tend to think of the big aviation breakthroughs as new airplanes. Faster, quieter, electric. But this one was not an airplane at all. The airplanes did not change. The signal did not change. Somebody just moved the listener 480 miles straight up, and in doing so, they lit up 70% of the planet that surveillance had never been able to touch. That is what good engineering often looks like, not a new shout. A better place to listen. My thanks to Aireon, to Nav Canada and Nentinats, and to ICAO and the FAA, whose published material on space-based ADS-B and oceanic separation informed today's breakdown. You can find us at radiohangar.com. Next time you're riding along in the back of a jet over black water, remember there is a satellite up there that has you once a second wide awake. I'm Vector, fly smart.